Hello and welcome to Runway Girl Network in Conversation, a deep dive into aviation and the passenger experience. I'm RGN Deputy Editor John Walton, and today I'm in conversation with Susanna Hunkova, Vice President and Head of Marketing at the Airframer ATR. But first, thanks to our sponsor. In Conversation is brought to you by Bolteron, a Simona company, purveyor of high-performance thermoplastics for tomorrow's aircraft interiors. With new and groundbreaking innovations in design capabilities, Bolteron offers airlines the ability to customize the cabin with lightweight materials with metallic effects, translucent decorative panels with unique embedded patterns, dynamic textures, vibrant pearlescence, and much more. Learn more at boltaron.com. Now, Susanna, welcome to In Conversation.
Hello, John. I am really delighted to have the opportunity to share for Runway Girl.
It's wonderful to talk to you again. Susanna, for those who aren't familiar, would you give us a quick pencil sketch of ATR, what it is and what its product line is?
So great, John. ATR is a Franco-Italian regional aircraft manufacturer. The company is based on the equal partnership between two aviation industry leaders, Airbus and Leonardo. So we are producing the best-selling regional aircraft, so best-selling in the last decade. And the ingredient for success is that we have a family of two aircraft, ATR 42, which is a 50-seater aircraft, great route opener, and the ATR 72, so the larger model, with a 70-seat, however, we have a 78-seat capability for high-capacity configuration. And it's a great, really great product, which represents 35% of the market share on the regional aircraft in a 50 to 90-seat category, including turboprop and the regional jets.
Wow, that's an impressive market share. Tell us about this, how the company benefits from having these two model aircraft, because obviously your key competitor, which is of course now De Havilland Canada, doesn't currently offer anything smaller than the Q400, which is a sort of 74-seat competitor to the ATR-72.
So, as I said, the advantage for having a family is that with a small model, the ATR-42, the airline can explore new market potential and then compete with the larger capacity aircraft when the traffic growth is here, traffic demand is here. So I don't know if you know, John, but the airlines around the world, so we have 200 operators, 200 customers, across the world in 100 countries. So those operators open every year more than 100 new routes with the ATR product.
Huh, that's an impressive statistic.
And you know that 58% of current network, current turboprop regional network did not exist 15 years ago. And we have forecasted that the 30% of the future traffic in upcoming 20 years is going to come from the routes which not exist today, and we believe that the ATR is going to play a crucial role here.
Well, so what are these routes as some examples? Is it point-to-point flying? Is it connecting people in from regional sub-centres into regional hubs and then on to larger hubs? What's the profiles there?
So they are both. Our airplane is playing role on those both areas. Depends on the regions. However, more and more we see that the ATR-42 could be the great great tool on point-to-point operations, especially on very remote areas or challenging airports, and can really enhance and help to local economies to grow.
Okay, I see. So how far can you fly an ATR, in terms of nautical miles and then in terms of flight duration?
So for a regional segment, the max range capability is not an issue. I would rather say about the average sector and the segment where the turboprop aircraft is doing the best job. So the average segment for our operators is around 1 hour, so around 250 to 300 nautical miles. However, we have operators flying from less than 10 minutes between two islands up to 3 hours and a half. And by the way, it's one operator doing those two type of operation. And then maybe answer more precisely to your question, we have an ETOPS capability for up to 4 hours.
Wow, up to 4 hours of range away from an airport. That's pretty impressive. What sort of profile is that? Is that one that's connecting to a hub? Is that connecting to a remote island?
This is rather a type of operation connecting remote islands and remote areas.
Okay. So in terms of the rest of the market, both in terms, I guess, of a lot of the old legacy turboprops and then, of course, the Q400, what makes the ATR different? What's the unique selling point?
So I would start definitely by the great accessibility to the airport. I already mentioned the accessibility to challenging airports, as well as the airports with very few ground equipment. And also we have operations on very extreme meteorological condition. Very hot temperatures or very cold temperatures, as well as we can operate on runways large only 14 meters. Then another differentiator is definitely the advanced technology. So we have a glass cockpit and advanced performance-based navigation capabilities. And maybe one equipment which is unique in commercial aviation, it deserves to mention ClearVision. So it's equipment which allow the operations in low visibility conditions. And then a very important one is link with the operating economics. So a very simple architecture of our aircraft, and then turboprop propulsion technology are resulting in very competitive operating cost, and the airlines really appreciate this part. And the part of the turboprop technology is linked as well with the very low fuel consumption. John, I don't know if you are aware, but our aircraft is burning 40% fuel less compared to equivalent jet aircraft, and by consequence, produce 40% less CO2 emissions. And then it's a very quiet neighborhood because the external noise produced by our aircraft is 9 decibel below ICAO Chapter 14, which will be introduced from 2020, from next year. So already our aircraft is future-proof in terms of external noise, and is 13 decibel quieter compared to regional jet aircraft.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting. I think that a lot of people have this idea that turboprops are noisier, but that's because they're probably thinking of it from inside the cabin, whereas actually from outside the cabin, and for neighbors of airports, that's a real benefit. I guess in terms of how turboprops are constructed, right? The idea of having the exposed fan blades. Why does that make it more efficient, and why is there a lower impact on the environment than say a modern regional jet?
So as I said, this is thanks to the turboprop technology. So just to give you an insight, the turboprop engine inside of the engine works like jet engine. So in terms of technology, it's comparable, which means it's latest technology, latest material as used. So the air is compressed into the engine and is mixed with the fuel and ignites the mixture. So the resulting force rotates a shaft, which in turn drives a propeller, accelerating the flow of air to create the thrust that makes the aircraft move forward. And the turboprop, thanks to that, is more efficient on short sectors because the air is accelerating using the less power, thanks to the propeller, which has resulted in less fuel consumption. So for short flight of about 1 hour, during which you don't have time to reach high altitude or high speed, the fuel consumption could be nearly half of a similar jet size aircraft.
Ah, I see. Because of course turboprops have a lower operational ceiling, so you're at your optimized level faster and for longer for a shorter flight? Is that part of how it works?
So it's more resulted in the fuel efficiency, and the low flying altitude could bring something additional to passenger experience, which is a very nice view through the window. So we can talk about like a native in-flight entertainment.
Well, exactly. I remember when I used to live in New Zealand, flying down from Wellington to Queenstown, right over the Southern Alps, was just one of the most beautiful views. You certainly didn't need a screen for that, I tell you. Now, thinking about the operational side of the aircraft, obviously the ATR has relatively good runway performance, right? It needs a relatively short runway. But at the Paris Air Show, you introduced something new, the short takeoff and landing ATR 42-600S. Tell us a little bit more about that, please, and why it's needed.
So maybe a couple of numbers. So as I mentioned already today, ATR 42 takeoff and landing capability and airport accessibility is very good. So now the max takeoff weight takeoff distance is around 1,100 meters. However, we see that there is around 1,200 aging aircraft, turboprop aircraft, in 30 to 50 seat category, which will need replacement in upcoming years. And inside of those 1,200 aircraft, there is one part which today perform takeoff and landing on the runways between 800 to 1,000 meters. So on top of that, we have around 460 airports around the world with runways below 1,000 meters, so between 800 and 1,000 meters, which are not operated on scheduled service today. And we have requested a lot of requests from airlines or even from governments, because they are willing to develop the activity on such areas. So this is why we have decided to work on improved takeoff and landing capability of the ATR 42 and brings the great solution to address this replacement market Also to address new market potential for a new development. And John, there is a lot of places around the world which are located in on natural heritage sites, and the governments are willing to develop the activity. So there is no possibility to extend the runway because they want to protect the nature around. And this is why they are interested in the ATR 42S with this improved takeoff and landing capability. So the new aircraft will be able to take off and land on 800 meters one way with the payload equivalent to 30-seat turboprop. And they will need around 900 meters to perform the fuel payload with 50 passengers on board. So that will be a great tool to address replacement market and as well as a new market and help development of local economies.
I see. So you can do 30 passengers at 800 meters or full capacity at 900 meters. Is that it?
Yes.
Interesting, interesting. I mean, technically, what's different with the 42S to a regular old 42?
So basically, there is very few changes. So for to be capable to operate or take off from shorter runway, you would need more controllability. So this results in higher rudder. So we have we are going to increase the rudder slightly. Then perform the landing as well on shorter runway, you would need to have a modification on brakes. So we are going to introduce the brakes, auto brakes. And then there will be by consequence some modification on the avionic in the cockpit. And then we are going to use the thrust of the engine of the ATR-72. So that's basically the difference compared to existing 42.
I see. Interesting stuff. And in terms of this replacement market, what are the aircraft that are currently operating these routes, and what sort of routes are they? Are they, I mean, I assume, given that the launch customer is supposed to be Air Tahiti, that it's going to be a little bit of island hopping in the Pacific, but what else is there? Is there some sort of opportunities around rural and remote airstrips, that kind of thing, perhaps in Australia for the fly-in, fly-out market? Tell us a bit more about that, please.
So based on current operation on stall airports, we see that there is an opportunity in Canada, then opportunity in Northern Europe. We see opportunity, of course, in Asia Pacific, on islands, even in Japan. And maybe one point which is important to mention, that we are still waiting for the board approval to launch this product. However, based on the performance from Le Bourget Air Show, we are working on it, and we believe that we will receive the board approval in upcoming months.
Oh, fantastic! I mean, yeah. Well, what was the reaction at Le Bourget? Were did you have airlines sort of lining up around the stand?
So you have seen a couple of announcements from the press on with the customers who committed to the ATR 42 stall. And of course, we have received a lot of visitors during Le Bourget Air Show who wanted to learn more about our innovation in general.
Yeah, no, interesting stuff. It'll be interesting to see, you know, whether indeed the board approves it. Now, talking about passenger experience, which is, of course, our thing here at Runway Girl Network, obviously, as a rule, turboprops tend to be a little bit smaller in fuselage diameter than jets. Not necessarily that dissimilar from your smallest type of regional jet, but compared with, I don't know, an Embraer or anything larger than that, they're a bit smaller. And one of the criticisms has been that the seats feel a little bit narrower. But I know that ATR's been doing a lot of work on that. Tell us about that work. How are you improving the passenger experience within the turboprop sphere?
So this perception that the ATR cabin is narrower compared to regional jets deserves some clarification indeed. So do you know, John, that ATR cabin is the largest cabin in the turboprop segment? Is even larger compared to some regional jets. However, is offering equivalent comfort and passenger experience to larger jets. So how we have achieved that? Well, in terms of interiors, first in 2011, we have introduced the Harmonia cabin. So redesign completely the interior, offering more integrated design with the seamless design language. Redesign passenger service unit using the light source and light technology. So we have replaced the lighting with so fluorescent tubes with LED lighting. And as well as added new sources in the cabin, sources of the light with indirect light, as well as we have introduced this mood like color light on light on reading light and passenger service units. And then the second big improvement was related to overhead storage compartment. So we have really optimized the space inside of overhead storage compartment. So first of all, with the contemporary design, the cabin looks lighter, brighter compared to the previous generation. And then in 2016, we have started to work on the new seat, and as well as we did approach on optimized use of our cabin widths, because as I said, we have the largest cabin in turboprop market. And from 2018, we have bring on board the new brand new seat. So Neo Classic and Neo Prestige, which is offering 18 inches passenger comfort, so 18 inches width between armrest. As well as the seat is lighter, more ergonomic, and the passenger feeling on this wider seat, the wider and ergonomic seat is that at equivalent seat pitch, they feel like they gain 2 additional inches for leg room. So they feel they have a more personal comfort. And I believe, John, you have tested the seat at aircraft interiors, and maybe you can as well testimony.
Yeah, I mean, both aircraft interiors and the Jevon factory in near Naples. And it's I find it really interesting. I think that I and a lot of people was surprised and somewhat skeptical of the 18-inch claim. And obviously a good part of that is that you've narrowed the armrests quite significantly. So are those armrests holding up in service? How many of these 18-inch seats have been chosen? How many are operating these days?
So the seat, 18-inch seat, have been developed together with our customers. So we have used the mock-up mock-up and invited a huge number of operators or customers. And now the seed become a new standard. So every single ATR which is produced from 2018, mid-2018, so from roughly last year, summer last year, is equipped with a new classic or new prestige. What we have observed that roughly 80% of customers are selecting for entire cabin the new prestige seat. So this new prestige seat has a recline and some additional features. And then the rest of the customers are selecting or a mix between prestige and new classic or full new classic configuration.
Mm-hmm. And why would they be selecting a difference between that? Is there a sort of premium economy version up front, three or four rows, or how does that work?
So there is around 20% of customers who differentiate like a two class layout, and is like a half between using the new prestige in front with a higher pitch and then new classic as economy, or they just differentiate a couple of rows with additional pitch on new prestige and use it like a business class, and then the rest of the cabin like economy class. And what is maybe interesting to mention is that when we have this new prestige across entire cabin, we are offering on ATR, on regional aircraft, much more higher comfort compared to what you can have on equivalent sector with larger jets, like a single aisle aircraft, because of recline and leather and additional comfort features.
Yeah, I mean, recline is really interesting, because I think there are a lot of us who, for flights, as you say, that are around an hour or so, I really wonder whether or not someone does need to recline, or whether it makes more sense to install something like a pre-reclined seat, you know, so that everyone has a little bit more comfort to begin with. What's your take on that? Is recline still in demand from airlines and passengers?
Maybe to explain a little bit more, the new Prestige has a recline, new Classic has a pre-recline, so a fixed back shell, but with a pre-recline. And based on our statistics, what we are delivering, we see that there is still a majority of customers who are willing to offer more passenger experience with the reclinable seat.
Going back slightly to the overhead bins, how have they been improved? Is it that you have a clamshell? Is it that they've managed to scope out some more space into the ceiling? What does that involve?
So we have done several improvements on the overhead storage compartment. So first of all, our overhead storage compartment is the fixed box. And we have improved the stowability of the box. So by removing the hinge, which was the case on the previous design, which means that we have really optimized a usable space inside of bin, which results in a possibility to store two very large roller case, roll-on bag, 18 inches wide bag. And then the second improvement is that the door, the bin door, is sliding over the bin. So it's completely hide when the bin is open during the boarding time, boarding phase, which means for tall passenger, it's incredible improvement in terms of standing comfort. because there is no door intruding the aisle. So 20% more storage space, and then the improvement of the boarding comfort.
You know, I certainly noticed the different sizes of bins when I walk around the new Armonia cabins. And yeah, it's an interesting change. And are you seeing that airlines are doing less of the gate checking of bags in this case?
So the handling of the luggage is more in airline world, airline business, but definitely the passengers appreciate the additional storage space, and probably all of us as a traveling people. With our passenger experience, we appreciate the space and capability possibility to bring a cabin back. So definitely, operators with the Armonia cabin will allow to bring on board a larger passenger bag, cabin bag.
Yeah, no, interesting stuff. Now, at the Aircraft Interiors Expo in April, you were showing off this really interesting concept for deaf and hard of hearing passengers around an induction loop. What did that involve, and how did you get involved with that?
So the audio back, the hearing loop, we have continued showcasing it at Le Bourget Air Show. You know, with the additional visitors, additional airlines, and this experience have helped us to definitely endorse the interest, the market interest. We have also understood that today the airlines don't really treat, they have no appropriate solution to hard of hearing passengers. Which means that there is a big market interest, and internally in ATR, we are working very closely with engineering to integrate the system in our aircraft. Which means that the tool, the hardware, will be integrated in. The seat headrest, so will remain like loose equipment. However, there is a part of the equipment which needs to be integrated to the cabin management system for the cabin announcements, PA announcements. So there is a little part of the system which needs to be integrated in our aircraft. So we are on it, and we plan to get a first customer for the system next year.
Interesting. And so, in terms of practicality, so it'll be inside every headrest, or will it be? Will you put an additional sort of extra headrest cover on for people who are deaf or hard of hearing?
So based on the airline feedback, what the airline would prefer to have a couple of loose equipment, so not equip every single headrest, however, to have a two or three available in the cabin. And this will give them the flexibility to locate a hard of hearing passenger anywhere in the cabin.
Right. And then, of course, people who have hearing aids or other auditory equipment, they just turn the setting to the T setting, right, which we may all be familiar with from movie theatres and other sorts of public spaces, right? Is that how that works?
That's exactly how it works.
Hey, fantastic. Look, it was great to see that working, and indeed to talk to you and you know, a member of the deaf community about that. That was you know, absolutely fascinating stuff. So looking to the future, Susanna, what's next for ATR? You know, we talked a little bit about the 42S, the short takeoff and landing version. I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, in the age of, you know, people looking to more ecological and environmentally friendly solutions, larger turboprops or even electric turboprops. What's on the horizon?
What we see as a trend is rather a trend to smaller capacity aircraft. So as I mentioned, there is a great opportunity to replace aging 30 to 50 seat turboprop aircraft. So I mentioned around 1,200 aircraft for upcoming years. So that's the first point. So I believe as the trend is rather in smaller capacity aircraft, it's not time to go for the larger capacity. We have already the ATR 72, which is offering capacity up to 78 seats. So we will see how this configuration is going to evolve and have a will be endorsed by the market. For the time being, is rather positioned on low cost markets. And then, of course, we are monitoring evolvement of technology, because we see that the environmental dimension become very important. And already our aircraft with environmental footprint, which is very well positioned, I would say is leading in the regional segment, is definitely well positioned to be the great benchmark or starting point for the future technology integration.
Once we have an electric type engine, I assume that it would be relatively simple to simply replace the aircraft engines that are already on the ATR with something like that, would it? Or is it much more complicated than that? And
of course, it's much more complicated. It's not only plug and play question. And there is a several domain we can have a look. So first of all, the maturity of technology. So when we are talking about new technology, and we talk only about the electric, we see that the technology in terms of battery storage is not obvious enough. Just to give you a flavor to make a takeoff of our 42 with 18 ton max takeoff weight, we would need a same weight of the battery to make it happen. So this is not realistic. So we believe rather in a sort of hybrid utilization, when you use the electric power for one phase of flight, for example, for the cruise time, or additional electrical power for takeoff, but it will be mixed with the thermal technology, thermal power. But John, for me, what we really need to look at is the adaptation to the entire ecosystem. I don't know how familiar you are with electrical car or hybrid car. So I have a little experience. I'm selecting my new aircraft car, and I'm targeting to go for hybrid. And what I discovered is that even with the cable, the power cable, it's the hell. So first of all, you have to put the installation at your home. Then there is no standardization in the cable. So I see that I have to purchase two cables to be able to plug, for example, at home, at work, or somewhere downtown. And this will be same for the aircraft. So what we need to think in the same time as the technology is evolving is how to adapt the airport infrastructure, how we are going to bring, for example, the source of energy, if it's not electric, but if we talk about the fuel cell, hydrogen, or this kind of sources, how will be transported to the airport. So I think what we need to focus on is as well as how we are going to integrate this new technology to the ecosystem of our operators. And this is why we as ATR, as an airframe manufacturer, we have signed an agreement last year with Air New Zealand to have a look on this site, what does it mean, the new technology in the ecosystem and in the logistic of one operator. So there is not only the technology of the power system, but as well as how we adapt this new technology to the regional aircraft ecosystem.
Yeah. Hey, look, it'll be really interesting to see what the results are of that study. I'm really encouraged from an environmental point of view that there are so many people and so many companies who are really starting to look more carefully into this. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think that's it for today's conversation. We certainly hope you enjoyed it, listeners, and we're always keen to find out what you think. Please feel free to email me at john@runwaygirlnetwork.com with any suggestions. Thank you to our guest, Susanna Hunkova. Susanna, where can people continue the conversation with ATR online?
You can follow ATR Adventure on Twitter or Instagram at ATR Aircraft, or on our website at atr-aircraft.com or atr-intolife.com. Of course, you can also follow us on LinkedIn.
Great. And as ever, you can find me on Twitter at ThatJohn and everything from RGN on Twitter at RunwayGirl and at RunwayGirlNetwork.com. If you're enjoying these conversations, please leave a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for listening.